All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry. I get to be the host today. And we want to welcome you to our monthly benefits program. We took a break back in December, so we're back here. And joining me in the studio right now is our local Washtenaw County Veterans Service Officer Supreme. That's Michael Smith. Michael, welcome back.
Dale, it's been a nice break, but it is good to get back to work.
It is, and I believe joining me on the line also is from Legal Help for Veterans, is retired Air Force General Carol Ann Falson. Carol Ann, welcome back.
Thanks, Dale. And, hey, Michael, I like that new title, Veteran Supreme, and that's very true.
Thank you. I hope you're doing well.
I am. It's a little chillier than where I've just been for a month, but I'm glad to be home.
Well, I'm glad you're home, too, because that's what we're going to be talking about today is benefits. And I want to make sure everybody knows out there that we record this program on Sundays at 5 p.m., and the benefits program is the last Sunday of every month, and some of our programs are played back later in the week. So I want to remind people, if you do have a question for our experts here, you can send me an email, that's dale@veteransradio.net, with your question, and we'll make sure we get it on there, because I know the people out in California and Pennsylvania, sometimes you guys feel like you're left out a little bit because we don't have your questions right there at the moment that you were talking to you. So again, for those of us in the immediate area or within the sound of this station, the number to call is 734-822-1600. That's 734-822-1600. I want to remind everybody that Veterans Radio is brought to you by Legal Help for Veterans, and Legal Help for Veterans does specialize in disability claims. And for more information, you can go to their website, that's legalhelpforveterans.com, or give them a call at 800-693-4800. It's 800-693-4800. We also want to thank U.S. Wings, the manufacturers of the finest leather flight jackets in the world. U.S. Wings is a major supplier of leather flight jackets to the military. For more information, go to their website, that's uswings.com, or give them a call. 800-650-0659. I got to remind you that U.S. Wings is providing us with one of their leather flight jackets, the A2 flight jackets, to give away every 3 months on Veterans Radio this year. And so we're going to have our first drawing in March for that. So make sure that you go to our website, that's veteransradio.net, and you'll see there's a big icon there that you can click and join the list, and hopefully we can pull your name out of the hat and let you get that new jacket from U.S. Wings. But in the meantime, you can go to their website and check out all their merchandise and paraphernalia. Speaking of merchandise and paraphernalia, this is a recorded announcement, it feels like. You can also go to veteransradio.net, and we are offering up some of our own merchandise and paraphernalia. We've got shirts and jackets and cups and all kinds of different things there for you. And we'd love to have you go in there and just check it out and let us know what you think. If there's something that you think that we're missing, again, send me an email and we'll add it to the merchandise that's available. Also, you can make a contribution to Veterans Radio on our website. Just go in there, and it's a check off or a kind of a Buddy Money logo there to help us keep our program going. We've been doing it now for a little over 16 years. We'd like to go another 16 if we could. It'd be great. So if you are so inclined, you can go in there and make a donation. We've got a pretty big announcement coming up in February that will benefit you when we start talking about donations and contributions. So sounds like somebody's doing some work somewhere in the background of my as I'm listening here. Anyway, the other thing I want to make sure is that we do thank our local veteran services, our veterans organizations, Charles S. Kettle's Chapter 310 of the Vietnam Veterans of America in Ann Arbor. The VVA says, never again shall a veteran coming home from battle be made to feel alone and unappreciated. VFW Graft O'Hara Post 423 of Ann Arbor, Michigan. Their logo is, no one does more for veterans. And finally, American Legion at Irwin Prescorn Post 46 of Ann Arbor. American Legion is the largest veterans organization in America, and they do wonderful, great things for veterans as far as working with the government and various and other sundry organizations out there. All right, so we're going to start by talking a little bit about some things that I saw in the news. We've got a couple of questions here for, excuse me, for our experts in just a moment. But one thing is, evidently, well, there's two things. First one I'm going to talk about, the VFW sent out a newsletter. The VFW expects an apology from the president. Number one is, to give you a little background if you hadn't heard the story, when Somali was killed by American rockets, I guess you could say a drone strike, Iran responded with some rockets into Iraq. And the originally they were said that there were no injuries to American military over there. Well, it turns out that a little over 30 of them have suffered from TBIs. That's traumatic brain injury. And the president said something probably, you know, one of his off-the-cuff comments about, well, you know, it wasn't very serious and so forth, and that, you know, it was just headaches. Well, the VFW sent a letter to the president and to all the memberships of the VFW, and it says, TBI is a serious injury and one that cannot be taken lightly. In light of today's announcement from the Defense Department, this was on the 24th, 34 service members suffered traumatic brain injuries as a result of Iran's retaliatory strike, and President Trump's remarks, which minimize the troops' injuries, the veterans of foreign wars cannot stand idle on this matter. TBI is a serious injury and one that cannot be taken lightly. TBI is known to cause depression, memory loss, severe headaches, dizziness, and fatigue, all injuries that come with both short and long-term effects. The VFW expects an apology from the president to our servicemen and women for his misguided remarks, and we ask that he and the White House join with us in our efforts to educate Americans about the dangers that TBI has on our heroes as they protect our great nation in these trying times. Our warriors require full support more than ever in this challenging environment. And that's from William Doc Schmitz, who's the VFW National Commander. If you go to veteransradio.net and you click in the search engine, put in TBI, and you'll find out what the ramifications of suffering from that can be. So that was sent to me earlier this morning. The other thing was...
Well, you know, Dale, if I could interject.
Go ahead, that'd be fine.
Prior to the current conflicts, the schedule of rating for traumatic brain injury or post-concussive syndrome is diagnostic code 8045. It carried a maximum 10% disability. It was these current conflicts and the prevalence of traumatic brain injury in our warriors, both men and women, that the Congress ordered the VA to expand diagnostic code 8045. And now it goes from 0, 10, all the way to a 100% rating. And it is a very thorough exam. There are some symptoms of traumatic brain injury that overlap symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. So when the VA rates these two conditions, if a veteran is claiming both conditions, there is a certain period of time that they have to go and back and be re-evaluated until the physicians can actually distinguish between the symptomatology related to post-traumatic stress disorder and the symptomatology related to traumatic brain injury. And in most cases, those who have a TBI rated at a very low rating over the years, once the examining officials can distinguish between the two conditions, you'll see a veteran's traumatic brain injury evaluation increased because it is a serious injury.
Right.
And it can progressively get worse over time. And I've seen and worked with many veterans who have TBI. And it's one of those, again, unseen wounds that we typically just can say, ah, well, you know, that person's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not.
No. And we have talked with the people from the Eisenhower Center here in Ann Arbor, which is specializes in treating veterans and civilians as well who have experienced a TBI incident. And they talk about their symptoms and how long it can take to even get people back to a semi-normal lifestyle. I mean, not saying that everybody that has a TBI is, you know, going to be disabled for their entire life, but, you know, if you get your head rattled, you know, your brain's bouncing around inside your head, then that's going to cause a problem for you for who knows how long.
That's correct.
Well, the other thing to piggyback, and Michael, thank you for sharing that info. The other problem with this is all TBIs are not at the same level. And so those 30 injured, one might be a little milder than the other, and sometimes they don't manifest as readily as another veteran might. So, you know, it might not manifest for 6 months. It might not manifest for a year. But those symptoms and that diagnosis of a TBI is something we really need to be concerned with. We need to be doing more action up front before, you know, 18 months, and then you've got some of the issues that our veterans are not able to cope with this diagnosis. And, you know, we've seen it over the years, and so we need to act swiftly, and we owe a debt to those men and women.
Absolutely. Well said. And here's the thing, General Fasson, they were just diagnosed. The incident that caused their traumatic brain injuries just happened. We don't know what these folks are going to look like 2 years from now, like she said, 5 years
exactly.
from now, 10 years
exactly.
from now.
Exactly.
I just wanted to read that response from the VFW as to remind our listening audience that it is an injury that needs to be taken seriously.
It's the hallmark. You know, every war, every campaign has a hallmark. They have put the title to this traumatic brain injury, and Michael is absolutely correct. The overlying symptomatology between PTSD and TBI, and if you have both, I believe it's something like 42%. Could you think of managing two different severe disease categories at the same time? You're trying to work, you can't hold a job, you can't focus, you got the photophobia, you got the headaches, and you're not getting help. I mean, that's what it's all about. Now, these 30 individuals, I believe that they will get outstanding care because they're on active duty. The whole world is watching. And so I believe they, you know, they'll be taken care of. But what about our other veterans? We need to take care of these two issues of traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress syndrome.
And as you said, and it was a news release, they're referred to as the signature disabilities of these current conflicts, post-traumatic stress disorder and TBI.
Yes.
Well, it certainly is understandable. I've been reading a book by David Hackworth recently, and for those of you out there who are not familiar with it, this, unfortunately, he's gone, but he was in World War II, he was in Korea, he was also in Vietnam. And he was talking about that, you know, these different war injuries that occurred in these different conflicts. And one of the things that he was complaining about in Vietnam, and kind of rolls it into Iraq, Afghanistan, really, is that so many of these guys are being carried around in these personnel carriers, where when they're blown up, their heads are whacked against the walls, and it's like being in an automobile accident, only instead of there being airbags going off, it's a you know, Kevlar side or roof or bottom of the thing that you're hitting your head on, and that is why it's, you know, become more or less the signature as you're talking about. We have a call coming in from Reno, Nevada, and this is Fred. So, Fred, welcome to Veterans Radio. Let us know, what is your question?
Oh, okay. I'm an atomic vet. I was in the nuclear testing in Christmas Island from 62-3.
Okay.
And I'm 100%. My brother got leukemia in 1999 and died, and I got his family $70,000. Now, I'm 100%. I don't think I was ever in Vietnam. But I was wondering if I have, I got diabetes, and I don't think I was exposed to Agent Orange, but I might have been exposed to that black water or blue water thing.
The question is, you're 100% right now?
Yes.
Okay, and that's for your atomic or your nuclear exposure?
Well, yeah, post-traumatic stress, and I got kidney problems, high blood pressure, and I got macular degeneration in my eye, mm-hmm. but they said that the explosion didn't cause that. I don't have a certain cataract that I was exposed to.
All right. Well, I'm sure that I don't think we could ever get more than 100%, but you could, Michael?
Well, there are ratings above 100%. That's when the VA pays what we call special monthly compensation under certain categories, like veterans who's housebound.
I'm actually 120%. I get about 32-something a month, but I was just wondering this diabetes that I got, could that have been a cause from the blue water or the black water if I was in that?
I'm not real certain about what you're referring to when you say the blue water or the black water.
Well, you mean the Blue Water Navy that just started in January? The people that were in the Blue Water Navy that were within whatever the limits were of Vietnam are now eligible to apply for benefits for being exposed to Agent Orange because they're or those chemicals.
But I was never in Vietnam, and I was just wondering, could I have been exposed to it and didn't know it?
That's going to cause us to have to speculate because, you know, we don't really even know if the Department of Defense has been fully truthful about where herbicide agents were stored or handled.
Yeah.
So it's possible that you could have been exposed and not know. But from what you're telling me, where you were and the times that you were in the service, I would say pretty confidently that you probably were not exposed to herbicides.
Okay, that's all I want to know.
Okay, thanks, Fred.
But one other thing, could the bomb cause my problems with my eye?
That would be something that you should speak to a physician about whether or not observing nuclear explosions or explosions of any kind can have an impact on your eyes and cause macular degeneration.
He said that it takes a certain cataract. I can't remember, subscapular cataract.
So what he's saying is that if in fact the explosions that you viewed produced that specific type of cataract, then that would be evidence that the explosions caused your macular degeneration. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you don't. And you don't have.
He thinks that it was a diabetes that caused the macula.
Well, so that's what many of our claims are 100% reliant on, and that is medical evidence. And if the doctors are basically saying there's no physiological way that there's a connection between watching or observing a nuclear detonation and your macular degeneration, then we have to rely on the expertise of that physician.
Yeah, that's correct.
Or you could go get a second opinion.
There you go.
Yeah.
Contact your VSO. Contact your VSO out there and ask them the same question that you're asking us, and maybe they'll have somebody they could refer you to get that second opinion.
Well, let me ask you a question. Has there anything new come up on atomic vets?
No, there hasn't been anything new added to the law or the regulations or the adjudication manual.
Yeah, there was something that was supposed to have went through Congress, some kind of a bill, an H-something bill, but I don't think it passed. H-30 or something like that about a year ago, but I don't think that passed to help the atomic vets.
Unfortunately, we're not familiar with that, but we will definitely check it out and see what we can come up with for you.
Yeah, see, they've been many atomic vets have been taken advantage of, and they didn't get the compensations that they were supposed to get.
Well,
but there was a senator, I think in Missouri or somewhere, about 2 or 3 years ago, that was trying to help us, but the bill didn't go through or something. It didn't go through Congress about atomic vets.
All right. Well, like I said, we want to we'll let you know what we can find out for you, okay?
Yeah, yeah, I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much for your call.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dale.
All right.
Appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye.
Something
Go
I was
ahead.
Going to mention to the caller that I think is very significant. Whether you receive your care through the VA and you're, you know, receive all your health care through them, or like the caller, you know, you have a disability rating, you should always go back and consult with, periodically, if you've got questions like this, with your VSO, your Veteran Service Officer, or a county counselor, in our case here in Michigan, or, say, Legal Help for Veterans, to say, you know, I've got these issues going on, because the VA is not going to come to you and say, sir, you should put in for these added couple benefits and research whether your diabetes is associated with your other disabilities or a secondary diagnosis. It's your responsibility as a veteran. It's the VA's not going to come to you and say you should be applying for a benefit.
No, no, they won't. Even when they diagnose you, they don't tell you, oh, by the way, you've got this. Now go apply for your disability at the same time. I think it's kind of interesting when we think about, we want to remind people that you're listening to Veterans Radio, and this is our benefits, our monthly benefits program, that if you do have a question, please give us a call here at 734-822-1600. I got a call, or I got an email the other day from a gentleman in Amarillo, Texas, and he listens to the program online. So hopefully, Bobby, you're listening to the program. He said that he's been treated for post-traumatic stress at his local VA. He has been since around 2001. He has been denied any VA compensation several times despite the fact that his records are filled with treatments for post-traumatic stress. What is needed for proof of post-traumatic stress? Michael?
Well, there's a distinction between the Veterans Health Administration, who provides health care, and the Veterans Benefits Administration, that then provides disability compensation and other benefits. This person may have been diagnosed with PTSD, and the VA hospital provides health care services for that post-traumatic stress disorder. But when he went to file a claim and he was denied, then that means that the VA, the Veterans Benefits Administration, did not find that his PTSD was related to military service for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases, veterans have to submit a statement in support of their claim for PTSD where they identify their stressors. So there are certain stressors that the VA will concede if you've been in combat and you have certain awards and medals. The VA will say, yes, this person was exposed to a stressor that placed them in fear of their life, where they witnessed a bodily injury of another person or death of another person, or they heard of the bodily injury or death of a close associate or friend, or they themselves were exposed to the threat of bodily injury or death. If they are non-combat related stressors, then that requires that the VA has to verify those stressors through records. So if this person had a stressor that the VA was unable to verify, then the burden of proof, unfortunately, is on that veteran to show to the VA mm-hmm. that a specific incident happened that could have caused the post-traumatic stress disorder.
Okay. Carol Ann, do you want to add to that?
I think that was right on. You know, you just have to keep going. And something that this caller, I don't know if Michael was maybe forceful. Please, veterans, reach out. I know you're pretty intelligent, but go to somebody like a county counselor, a veteran service officer that knows the history, how to fill out the forms, because I see time and time again when people are denied, they didn't give all the correct evidence, as you said, Michael, or they might not have the information that triggers. You know, you just send it in. I was blah, 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 and I was there. And, but you know, that you witnessed, your buddy dying, or you saw this incident et cetera. I think the evidence and the experience of the first person filling out the claim is really critical for any disability,
And you're right. And this gentleman who sent the email about the post-traumatic stress disorder, the Texas Commission is the state organization in Texas that oversees benefits in that state. But they also have county veteran service officers in mm-hmm. every county. As a matter of fact, we'll be there in a couple of years for our National Association of County Veteran Service Officers for our annual conference. We'll be in San Antonio. So I would really encourage this person to bring everything that you have done in the past, bring evidence of your diagnosis and treatment from the VA, and bring the denials that you received from the Veterans Benefits Administration, and sit down and talk with the county veteran service officer where you live, and have someone work with you on how to put together or how to find maybe the evidence that would help support your claim. And that evidence is going to be in the form of verification of stressors. Even if you have to get lay testimony, or what we mm-hmm. affectionately refer to as buddy statements, mm-hmm. somebody else that knew of the situation or saw or witnessed the situation that in this case is the stressor that triggered your post-traumatic stress disorder.
Okay.
And you know, you might not have a buddy, Michael, excellent point. You might not have that buddy that was with you in the foxhole, because depending on when that occurred, if you do have somebody right next to you that could do the statement, that's awesome. But then please consider, you know, spouses, very good friends, somebody you live with as you're, and we're still talking about the TBIs or the PTSDs, you know, if you're waking up in the middle of the night, you know, sweating and, you know, just all of those symptoms that you're going through. That is really good evidence with a buddy statement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you've always got to prove it. I mean, you've got to have either a witness, as you said, or as you mentioned, the stressors. I know that they're looking if you have received an award for gallantry or bravery or whatever it may have been, or you got the combat infantry badge or something like that. They always want to make sure that that you have a reason, I guess, to suffer for whatever it is that they decide that they want you to think. You got to prove it, guys. Men and women out there, as I mentioned, the VA isn't going to volunteer that that you suffer from post-traumatic stress. And oh, by the way, you need to go see the other side of our operation here to apply for benefits. It's always has to be very proactive. And both Carol Ann and Michael have drilled this into my head over the last number of years. And so I want to make sure that you out there that are listening to Veterans Radio today, be proactive. All they can do is turn you down. I mean, if they say no, okay. If they say yes, then it's a little bit extra cash that you're going to have every month. That, you know, it's not going to make up for whatever you're suffering from, but at least it's an acknowledgement of it. So make sure that you go find out, ask questions. If you need help finding a VSO wherever you're located, let us know. Michael knows everybody in the whole country, I think. And so he can at least direct us to your state organization. We're going to take a real quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of things that are going on at the VA as far as Agent Orange. And there's a new post-traumatic stress, actually a post-traumatic stress disabled app for your phone, if you can believe that. So I want you to stick around, and we will be right back after brief announcements. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
Hi, this is Susan Sarandon. Thousands of veterans are homeless and living on the streets of our nation tonight. Streets where they are being beaten, robbed, even killed. Let's take care of our own. Please join me in getting our veterans off the streets and into safe, permanent housing. You can make a donation at veteransmatter.org or text VETS to 41444 and donate any amount. They fought for us, now we fight for them. Veterans Matter.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to Veterans Radio. Coming back here now for part two of our program this month on benefits. I want to remind the people that are listening to the program, unfortunately, that you won't be able to call in to this because we pre-recorded it on a Sunday afternoon. But if you do have a question about benefits, you can contact Veterans Radio at Dale. Just send it to me to dale@veteransradio.net, and I will forward it out to our resident experts that we have here, and they will be more than happy to try and answer your question or at least point you in the right direction where you may be able to get the help that you need. We were talking about a couple of different things on the first half of the program about making sure that you contact a VSO because you have to be proactive, and we mentioned this before. So if you do have a question out there, give us a call, 734-822-1600. I got an article.
Hey. Hello? Hey, Dale, this is Carol Ann. Just one afterthought. So,
okay.
The reason I'm so glad Michael brought up the issue of the buddy statement, something just happened recently. So representing a veteran, we are going after the evidence, and we go, lo and behold, to find out that his records are lost. They were involved in a fire. Well, we know the fire. And we can't find a critical piece of evidence. Well, we're going after the buddy statements. He knows a friend. We're getting a statement. The wife of, I think, 60 years is giving us a statement that, you know, she remembers some of those things that occurred during that period when he was on active duty. So I just want to say it's very important that even if you can't find the records, there, you know, you got to keep digging and don't give up. And I think it's real important that we try to do and jump through hoops to help our veterans.
Thank you. That's what both of you guys do. You do that on a daily basis, and we're those of us who are not in that, we're very grateful that you do. That we have people like you all around the country that are willing to help out. I wanted to back up just a second. Some of you may have heard the PSA for Veterans Matter, which is an organization down in Toledo, Ohio. And what they do is they're doing it. They are housing homeless veterans and their families. What happens is that the VA gives you an allowance for a home or an apartment or anything like that, but they don't necessarily also give you the money for the deposit to get into that home. And so Veterans Matter has been doing that. And last year they had, they placed 711 veterans, in their own, living quarters and so forth. And over the last 5 years or so, they have, housed, I'm looking at their website, which is veteransmatter.org, 3,458 veterans, 5,274 veterans and their families, and 1,247 veterans' children. So congratulations to Veterans Matter. You're filling a need out there, and we do greatly appreciate that you are doing that. I got a question here from a local guy I know named Pat. And Pat says that my Army job had me work in an area where no amount of ear protection helped. Turbine engines, electric generators and Lycoming and also aircraft engine based equipment. I remember for a long period of time my hearing was immediately affected, but this subsided. We also used the generators as a heat source when the temperatures dropped to sub-zero and we were bivouacked outdoors. He was in Germany. With no other heat sources to use, cold enough to cause frostbite in many of us. He was discharged in 1978. He doesn't think this is a service-related claim, or so he had been led to believe. His ears have been ringing daily ever since. I can relate to that one. Any suggestions other than need to come and talk to you?
Well, hearing loss is it's becoming problematic because of the way the VA is almost like they're chastising veterans. Well, why did you wait so long? And, you know, you've been out of service for 30, 40 years. Well, the reality here is there is a specific type of hearing loss that is directly related to excessive noise or acoustic trauma. That's high sensorineural hearing loss. So if that's the type of hearing loss a person has, and since military service, they have worked in a relatively quiet setting or, you know, even maybe a factory setting, but it wasn't loud. There was no excessive noise significant enough to produce high sensorineural hearing loss. Well, the VA has a chart for every military occupational specialty in the Army, all the Air Force specialty codes for the Air Force, similar the job titles for Marine Corps, Coast Guard, and Navy. And on that list, it shows the job on the left, and then it shows three columns, either a high probability, moderate probability, or a low probability that that specific job will cause hearing loss. So if this person's military occupational specialty or MOS in the Army is identified as one that is a high probability for hearing loss and tinnitus, and then that person after service worked in a relatively quiet setting, it's very likely that the VA would grant hearing loss bilateral as well as tinnitus, and then that would allow several things, compensation on a monthly basis, but more importantly, treatment at the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System or any VA facility for hearing aids.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that kind of reminds me of another article that I was reading, though. Even though, go get tested at the VA, and when you do get an evaluation for the hearing loss problem, they send you out to a third party. Or probably a second opinion, I guess, is what they're talking about.
Well, it's you're talking about treatment on one end, and then you're talking about a compensation and pension exam on another end.
So you go to
yes.
treatment. I went to treatment, and the VA said, you can't hear anything. Here are your new hearing aids. So then we filed a
claim.
A claim, went and took the hearing test, and evidently I'm not as bad as everybody thinks I am. And they said, they denied the claim, although they did provide me with free hearing aids.
I think they rated you.
They rated me
zero, which is right. Not a denial. It's a recognition that you have hearing loss that was caused by military service, but it's not compensable enough. And right. that is one of the things that we see typically with hearing loss and tinnitus. You'll get 0% service connected for the hearing loss, 10% for the tinnitus, because that's the minimum rating in the schedule. So you'll get 10%. Compensation, but more importantly, it's the treatment. That 0% mm-hmm. service connection entitles you to treatment at a VA medical center.
Okay, that's good. I like that answer. That is good. We got a question that was emailed to us that talked about where in the approval process is the Agent Orange presumptive disease hypertension. I got an article, and for those of you that don't read the Military Times, I would suggest that you do if you're trying to find out what's going on. I mean, from a, I don't know what I'd call it, a non-expert opinion, mine is. So the study results on new Agent Orange diseases are not expected until late 2020, says the VA secretary. Now, we know that this was, it says that, I'm ripping, I staple everything together so I don't lose it anymore. President Trump signed a funding bill including a provision ordering the VA to announce its plans to add four conditions to the list of Agent Orange Leak disease within 30 days. Well, VA Secretary Wilkie has said the decision won't likely come until at least late 2020. In a letter to John Tester, Democrat of Montana, dated December 20th, Wilkie said he would not make a decision until the results of two long-awaited studies were submitted to or published in scientific journals. In March, VA officials told members of Congress that the decision would be announced within 90 days. That was last March. Then Wilkie said he was awaiting the results of those studies. The Vietnam-era health retrospective observational study is a beaut, or VE HEROES, and the Vietnam-era mortality study. Isn't that great? We're part of a mortality study out there, guys. Anyway, that's what they're doing. The four symptoms that may be included are, let's see, it says bladder cancer, Parkinson's-like symptoms, or hypothyroidism, as well as an unknown number of Vietnam veterans have high blood pressure. The wait continues. Sorry, I can't give you more information, Michael.
What's disappointing is that the Academy of Health Sciences identified five new conditions, including those four, inclusive of those four in that five, in March of 2016, and gave it to then Secretary McDonald. And then when Mr. McDonald left and Mr. Shulkin was the VA secretary, he announced in November 1st of 2017 that he was going to work very closely with the new administration to identify the rules for how they were going to add these four new conditions. And when Mr. Shulkin's left now, Mr. Wilkie is here claiming that they're waiting on two crucial studies. I'm not understanding why two additional studies need to be done when they've had the information from the Academy of Health Sciences since March of 2016. I don't know. And
Michael, I want to piggyback. I totally agree with you. The other issue is to our veterans, do not give up. Keep your disability appeal claim going on. If they ask you for something, continue to give them what they want, because it would be a shame this get approved later this year and you now have lost an opportunity not only to get your back pay, but your claim has been closed.
Well, yes, that's a great point, General Fasson. So for this young man who just wrote in requesting what's the update on hypertension being added to the list, file the claim. Yep, it's going to get denied under the current rules and the current list of conditions, but when and if the VA adds that new condition to the list and you reopen your claim, the Niemer court decision should apply for an effective date to grant you benefits, meaning the date of your grant should go back to the date of your original claim, even the one that gets denied.
Okay. Well, I think that's important, because I was some of the comments about this article, and again, I'm encouraging you, those of you out there to go to the website Military Times. They've got a lot of great information in there on what's happening. Every time you sign in, you have to make sure you're not a robot.
I'll piggyback off myself. That goes for any of you out there in the listening area that has Parkinson's-like symptoms, hypothyroidism, bladder cancer, or hypertension. Go file a claim. It's going to get denied. I'll just let you know that right now. But when those conditions do get added to the list and you reopen your claim, either by the invitation of the VA or you do it because you know that the VA finally did add these conditions to the list, your effective date for a grant of benefits will go all the way back to the date of your original claim. We're seeing that right now with the new processing of the Blue Water Navy veteran claims that the VA started processing on the 1st of January. I've got three veterans on my caseload whose effective dates have gone back to 2016, 2015, and 2014, respectively, for their grant of herbicide-related disabilities. So they're going to get some really nice retroactive payments, and that's the reason why that strategy is being encouraged right now.
All right. Carol Ann, has legal help heard anything about that?
Yes, and I would agree. That's why I brought the article up. I mean, my thoughts up, because we're seeing it. You know, we get a denial. We keep it open. We keep going after it if they require something. We jump on these the minute. Michael said three cases. We've got a couple. We know and have them logged in. Who's our blue water? You know, who's got the Parkinsonians? Who's got the hypertension? Mm-hmm. You know, and so you just have to keep at this every single day.
It is something that it's like a job. You know, not only is it their job to get these claims through, but it's our job as the petitioner, I guess you could say, is to continue following up and making sure that they have the right information and that we don't just give up. There's always there's a saying out there that the VA will deny until you die, and we just got to make sure that they don't. And so we just keep pushing them and pushing them, and that's if you're going to be a veterans advocate, which these two people are, perfect examples of, then you've got to keep pushing them,
Well, the other point that you just made, yes, there is that, slogan out there that they're waiting for the veteran to die. However, families out there, and I don't think this is stressed enough. I know Michael stresses it. If one of our veterans dies, we find out about it, immediately you have a year to put in what is called the substitution claim to keep that going on until it's adjudicated, a decision is made. Well, we call our veterans right away. If a spouse calls us and says the husband has passed or the wife has passed, being she the veteran, we immediately We'll brief the family, the spouse of the substitution, and get that in. And then we now do not represent the veteran, because the minute the veteran dies, the POA dies, is now we are representing that spouse. And that's what keeps the claim going. And I would encourage that with any family member, but you only have a year.
1 year. I just want to, one of the comments in the Military Times article was written by the recently widowed, I'm not going to give her name, but her husband died on October 31st from one of those four new proposed presumptive conditions, and she wanted to know, can she file a claim now?
Yes. I would definitely encourage her to file the claim. It will be denied. But again, similar for survivor benefits, as I mentioned before about the veterans benefits, once a new condition is added to the list, then they will get that earlier effective date when they reapply.
Okay. There you go, Mrs. Brown. I hope you're listening out there. There's a couple of other things that are going around here as far as the VA is concerned. And one was an announcement that there's a VBA, a Veterans Benefit Administration, is having a webcast for the first quarter coming up on January 30th, which is this upcoming week. It's at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and you can go register to have access to this webcast. And I would strongly suggest some of you out there that you might want to do that. And you can just go to benefits.va.gov/stakeholder. It's benefits.va.gov/stakeholder, and you'll receive a link in order to watch this webcast, and I'm going to give an update for the first quarter of 2020. So we got to be informed, folks, because if we don't pay attention, we know what happens.
Well, Deputy Undersecretary Paul Lawrence started these once he first came on board, and he has been pretty regular in having these quarterly webcasts, and they are informative. And, of course, you know, You got to expect this. It's going to be, we did this, we did that, we did 34,000 of these and 44,000 of those, and we're the best at telehealth, and we're the best at. So that's, you've got to understand, it's going to be a rah-rah kind of an engagement. But it's still good to get the information, and it's still nice to see the VA reaching out and wanting to engage with their customers.
Well, I think they are. I mean, the budget for this year for the VA was up 9% over last year, and it has risen, I forget what the number was, something like 44% over the last 20 years. And it's finally, they're kind of budgeting ahead now instead of, you know, having to go in there and say, hey, we need this money. And I know that they're trying to fill all the vacant spots at the VAs around the country. And that's a hard job. I mean, I didn't realize that our generation had survived so long, and that there are so many of us that are needing and utilizing the veterans' health side of the of the program. So they also the veterans the Department of Veterans Affairs is doing some really great things going on out there. And one I just wanted to bring up, I just got another message was. From the PTSD, it's a PTSD monthly update, is that there now is an app that has been released. It doesn't diagnose, all it does is it offers some possible things that you can do to relax a little bit. And you can get in there and kind of type in what your symptoms are or what your triggers are and so forth. And it offers you suggestions on how you can, deal with those stressors that are out there, and maybe, you know, just maybe it might be one of the things that can help those of you that you know, that just can't figure out what to do some days when you wake up and you're mad at the whole world, or something gets you angry at this or that, whatever it happens to be, or you're depressed, or so on and so forth, all the various symptoms that post-traumatic stress has. So I would encourage you to go and check this out. You can get it on your Android or your iPhone. And it's called PTSD Coach. So you can just go in there, and there's also a video that goes along with it that shows you how to set it up on your phone, and then it asks you some questions. It doesn't get into great detail. As I said, it does not diagnose. It just offers some suggestions on how you may be able to relax a little bit and figure out what's going on. So this is Go ahead.
Hey, Dale, this is Carol Ann again. I'm going back just a little bit because the thought came in my head that I just want to throw out. You know, we were talking about those diagnoses, secondary diagnoses that related to Agent Orange. And, you know, Agent Orange and some of those issues occurred many, many years ago. And everything is costed out. So when Michael says, hey, he's known since 2016, you know, they put a price tag. I was asked this question last week. Do you think they consciously will just approve one of these disability rate diseases? And I said, absolutely not. I said, they're always analyzing. They want the research. But they're also costing it out what the benefits are going to amount to. So when you say, you know, we got a 9%, maybe that will be some of the money that will be looked at maybe hypertension or a Parkinsonian-like disease, because they know what that, granting that disease component, will amount to X number of dollars. So it just doesn't happen on a whim when something's approved. We need to make sure that it's just not approved, but that the government could truly pay for it.
Right, yeah, you have to make sure it's funded.
Yes.
That's one of the things. I was just, somebody just sent me an article from AARP. It says, qualify for Agent Orange benefits. This is an older one, I think it is. It just means that we have to make sure that people are aware that even though they were exposed and maybe they have no conditions, unfortunately, Agent Orange gets into our genetic makeup, and we can pass it along to our children and our grandchildren, and there are more and more cases of that occurring too. So I would suggest again to veterans out there that everybody that was in Vietnam and in Korea and at many of the military bases around the country and around the world, it seems like, were exposed to some sort of defoliant, and you need to follow up on that. So that's another piece of information for you there. I had a final comment here. Got this poor guy. I don't know about anybody else that's out there, but if you're on medication for the rest of your life, sometimes you get different. If it's genetic, generic. Sometimes it comes from different suppliers. And the makeup of the medication could have different fillers in there, and sometimes people react to those fillers. And so this gentleman is, he was inquiring. He had a question for the VA about generic medications and how they use different formulations for each manufacturer. And he is on some sort of medication that he has to take for the rest of his life. And he says sometimes it works really great. And he says other times the pill is different. It's a different color. And as people get a little bit older, we're also aware that we don't like change. You know, if we're taking a pill for high blood pressure, we want it to be that little white little pill that you cut in half or whatever it is. Or if you don't want these things to change. So I just wanted to remind, this is from a gentleman named Ray, who's over in Cleveland. And he just wanted to find out more information. He suggests that we all do a Freedom of Information request on their name, brand, and generic medicines to document the bid request. He wants to know where the money is coming from, because the VA, unlike Medicare, is allowed to negotiate the prices of their various drugs that they use. And so I did forward this letter to the Ann Arbor VA. And our good friend over there, Brian, has forwarded it to the head of the pharmacy there. So hopefully next month we'll have an answer for you on that question. Let's see. What else? Oh, I got an announcement I got to make here real quick. This is not a real quick announcement. But the New Canton community-based outpatient clinic is running into a little bit of an issue with their local community. So their planning board is having a very, very important meeting that is coming up here, and I got to find the date. Caroline, you might know it before I can find it, but here we go. Okay.
I believe it is February 3rd.
Correct.
It will be at 7 p.m., and I believe it's being held at the Canton Township Hall.
Right. All right. Here's the letter I got from, oh, look, it's from another Fausone. Fellow veterans and friends, back in September 2019, VA announced a new clinic in Western Wayne County. I just heard from the VA Ann Arbor that the community-based outreach clinic planned for Canton Township has a critical planning commission meeting on Monday, February 3rd at 7 p.m., and veterans should turn out to support the CBOC. Please spread the word and ask veterans and friends. The Planning Commission has some traffic concerns, big news, but that exists even without the CBOC. Necessary veteran services should not get caught up in larger political issues. So if you can, if you're in the Western Wayne County area, try to make it to that meeting Monday, February 3rd at 7 p.m. Veterans should turn out. Let people know that we're concerned and that this is a necessary clinic that I think is going to be very helpful for everybody that'll be out there. So do that. We'll post this up on our website as we get going along with that. And I think we got, what, 2 minutes? 1 minute? I got 1 minute. All right. Any comments from either one of you that you want to end up with?
I think the discussion is great. Keep it coming and send your questions in. Thank you both very much.
Okay.
Well, one last comment from me is we always are focusing on, obviously, veterans and the benefits available to them. But there are those same benefits available to survivors. And now that they're doing these Blue Water Navy veteran cases, if you know of a veteran who passed away from any of the presumptive conditions related to herbicide exposure, please let their unremarried spouses know to come and see a county veteran service officer or a service officer or legal help for veterans so that they can file a claim for dependency indemnity compensation.
All right. On that note, we will end our program on benefits for the month of January. We hope you enjoyed the program. We got to remind you that There I Was is coming up this coming Wednesday at the VFW 423 on South Maple or South Wagner Road. Until then, you are dismissed.